Blog Talk Radio.
The year 2016. We welcome you inside on this pretty warm day. Let's see here. It is under sunny skies, 44 degrees. It's not bad for February 20th. 22nd. We will be joined shortly by Andrew Visano of SNY, from Mets Camp, Port St. Lucie, Florida. Talk some spring training baseball as that kicks off. We are also going to be talking about golf, and we're going to do that right now. Most of you that are interested in this great game of golf have seen the report by now that Mark Steinberg, Tiger's caddy, has refuted the post put out by Secret Tour Pro, the very anonymous Twitter handle that nobody can quite figure out who that is, and also Robert Luestic, probably botched his last name, apologies to Robert, who used to work for Fox Sports, that basically had said Tiger had gone backwards health-wise in his recovery, and that he was having trouble walking and driving and kind of laid flat in a car and just had really taken a step backwards. And Steiny, in the most, I think, forceful way possible, has shot that down. Quote, "The tweets that appeared this weekend about Tiger's health are ridiculous and absolutely false. It is reprehensible that every few months someone makes something up and it's treated like a real story. Tiger continues to work on his rehabilitation and we will have an accurate update, at the appropriate time." This is, I said today that they had to do something, that this had gotten to the point of you got to go on the record and say something. One anonymous Twitter feed, that's whatever, just ignore that. I bet you every name brand person this had stuff said about them. As Oprah always jokes, I'd be taking up full shows if I had to shoot down every tabloid rumor about me over the years. So clearly this is a hot button issue that they would like to get away from. But secondly, when a former and reputable and respected golf writer has to get on the record and say that obviously becomes an issue that you have to deal with. For Tiger, everybody knew this would take a while. Everybody knew this would be a hard and long recovery. It's hard. It's been hard and long and frustrating. And I feel for Tiger because he's trying his best in a really bad situation when you got to let nerves heal. As we saw with Peyton Manning, that can be a while. Hopefully what Mark said is right and he's either gotten better or he's kind of the same. Hopefully these reports are not true, but Steiny could be lying. There's always that chance that we're being played, but they rarely go on the record this vehemently on something, and that is the case here. And as anybody who has followed the Tiger story knows, Tiger has become a little more open about himself. The camp has gotten a little more open in recent years, so for them to say this and to go on the record and say this, I think it's something we have to trust. So we'll see what happens there. Bubba Watson wins the Northern Trust Open, birdieing 16 and 17 and holding on, or parring 18, and then, two-putting for the win after Jason Kokrak led by, and we avoided a playoff there after runs from Dustin and Adam Scott came up short, including Adam's chip-in on 18th in the back of the green. Rory was not himself over the weekend. That's something to watch. Or on Sunday, that's something to watch as we get into the coming weeks. That's the story here. Hopefully Tiger will get better soon. We need him back in golf, and we also need these non-dramatic rumors and reports to turn more positive as well.
All right. Enough about Tiger and his issues. Let's talk some baseball here. Start of spring training. Let's go down to Port St. Lucie, Florida, or actually on the road away from Port St. Lucie, Florida, and welcome in SNY's Andrew Bisano. Hello, sir.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk to you about something that I don't think has gotten a lot of attention so far. People have been talking about, you know, here's Cespedes, and here's a bunch of Met pitchers and catchers coming back. But no one seems to want to talk about pitch counts and pitching schedules, because one of the things that we talked about a lot last year during the playoffs was, here are guys that have never gone this far, never pitched this many innings, never have had a pitch at a high level this far into a season. So what is Terry Collins' plan in terms of how they're going to bring these guys along, especially the ones that were pitching so deep into October?
Yeah, this has been a major topic for the Mets so far this spring training, and it's mostly about easing them into some of the work that they're going to face. So it's a little bit about sort of giving them the first week or so of spring training to really not do much work at all, and focus on sort of getting them into maybe the second or the later half of the second week to really get them going. Looks like some of their sort of long relief type pitchers and some swingmen type guys are going to get some start early on in spring training as they let sort of their big five, or at least their big four young staff, slowly work into spring. And that also will carry into the regular season a little bit. If they're getting a little bit of a slower start during spring, they might not be up to, their 100 pitch normal pitch counts by the time the regular season comes along. But for the Mets' benefit or detriment, we're not really sure. The team's only going to play two games in the first 4 days of the regular season, so it's going to be an interesting start to the season. And I think you're going to see a little bit of that slow play carry over into the start of the real games.
Is this one of those deals where they built a day off in case opening day got rained out?
Almost everyone has that now, but the Mets are going to open the season in Kansas City on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. So that is obviously the World Series rematch, which was not planned, obviously. The schedule was out well before that. But it's going to be an interesting thing as they're going to celebrate their World Series championship with the team they beat in their own park. So the Mets will be in Kansas City to open the season, and they have that built-in day off, obviously, then on that Monday in case it does get rained out. And they need to do that to protect themselves from losing a lot of revenue because, obviously, opening day almost always sells out.
I've never personally been a fan of that. I get it from a business sense, but I've never understood it from a baseball sense, but that's okay. One of the things that I think a lot of fans don't realize is that these guys have very intricate off-season programs, off-season throwing programs, off-season workout programs. What have you heard from some of these guys who pitched so many innings last year? Did they start back into baseball-like activities late? Did the Mets have to hold them back? What was their kind of pre-spring training work like?
For the most part, most of the guys that I've talked to and I've talked to the media have said they took a couple of weeks off just to sort of rest, decompress, and relax a little bit. But really, there is no off season anymore. Most of them just got right back into it by the end of November, coming into December. So both of them have been working out pretty much since the beginning of December. Some of them have even been down in Port St. Lucie, working with Mike Barlas, who is the team's strength and conditioning sort of coordinator. They've built a facility there for him. He has, the team can go down there. For minor league guys, their training is supplemented by the team, the cost of training. So a lot of these guys don't have much of an offseason at all, and that's pretty much the norm around Major League Baseball. It's a 24/7 job, 365 pretty much, and most of these guys have no offseason, have been working out, ready for this season, since pretty much last season ended.
Which I think is pure blasphemy, but that's just me. Henry Mejia, obviously the talk of the week leading up to Met Camp with his banning for life. I have to assume the Mets were extremely disappointed in him. I think that goes without saying. How does this change things from a baseball point of view, and do you think the Mets are going to have to go out and acquire anybody?
Obviously, the Mets are very, very disappointed, and you know, Sandy Alderson said that in his spring training press conference he held with us a couple of days ago, and obviously Jerry Familia, who was a really good friend of Mejia, is really disappointed. He said he hasn't spoken to him, at least the last time we talked to Familia. He hasn't spoken to him. He wanted to give him a few days, but he said, you know, there are rules, and there are obviously consequences for those rules. So they sort of were very disappointed, but understand Major League Baseball's stance, and obviously their suspension as well. In terms of, you know, shoring up the bullpen, I don't think they're going to go out and get anyone else. They have a lot of depth, both on the major and minor league side, for relievers. So definitely not going to go out and get a guy on another major league deal, that's for sure. But you might see them, and Sandy echoed this, said this when we spoke to him, is that you might see them pick someone up during or at the end of spring training, kind of what they did last year with Jerry Blevins. So you might see them a move like that where, you know, another guy isn't making the roster on his team, and the Mets can pick him up for a cheap minor league or something along those lines. But, you know, I don't see them having to scramble or do anything drastic to make up for the loss of Mejia, considering they played most of last season without him anyway and still made the World Series. So as disappointing as it was for, the Mets and Mejia's career, I don't think the Mets are going to be hurting too much from losing him.
Talking to Andrew Vezzano about the Mets. Obviously, the Red Sox fans have been buzzing about Pablo Sandoval's weight. Anyone in Met camp have some troublesome health issues or weight issues that have opened some people's eyes?
There is one player in camp that looks a little bigger than he did previously. He is a former first-round pick of the Mets, so that's been obviously getting some flack on social media. But again, he's a young kid. He's the only first-round pick, and obviously his name's Dominic Smith. Not going to beat around the bush on that one, but he did come in a little bigger than you sort of were used to seeing him. So we'll see how that shakes out through the season. But he is one of the guys that's been working with Marwood for at least the last couple weeks. They shared a photo of him, with a group of guys training. We'll see how that shakes out. But again, he's a big growing guy. Maybe this is sort of how he filled out as an adult, full fledged adult, but that definitely raised some eyebrows, at least among the fans, if not among the front office.
Do we have a name for this former first-round draft pick?
Yes, Dominic Smith.
Okay. It's interesting. When you climb to the top of the mountain and get so close to the promised land, there are some guys that walk away disappointed, sad, down, and then there's some guys that kind of use this as positive motivation that say, hey, look, we've gone there, we've gotten there, there's no reason why we can't get back. From the Mets you've talked to so far, both positional players and pitchers and catchers, what seems to be their mindset as to how they're framing the way 2015 ended?
A lot of the two words I've really heard batted around so far this spring training is confidence and swagger. So I think a lot of the players and even the coaches have talked about sort of gaining confidence and knowing that they're able to play in these big games. They're capable. They have the talent. They have the team that can get to, obviously, the World Series. That sort of is a confidence builder for them. Just to say, hey, look, we can do it. We've been there. We can do it again. And then it's also a little bit about swagger. We're talking about, having swagger as both a good thing and a bad thing. So knowing and being able to get back there is good, but not assuming that you're going to get back there as a bad thing. So, they definitely seem to be enthused by it. They definitely seem hungry and know that they want to get back to that promised land, as you said. So far from what I've seen and what I've heard is you know, they're pretty ecstatic about that opportunity to do so.
Talking with Andrew Vezzano about the Mets. AV, you've watched the Mets for a long time. You've covered them now, and everybody is a part of SNY for a couple of years. Citi Field was a vacant place. We talked last year during your appearances about how that building just woke up. And I saw the other day on Twitter, the first day they opened up camp for the fans, the gates were basically bursting at the seams. The buzz in Port St. Lucie around this team must be immense.
It is, and I was really surprised to see over 1,500 people show up for pitchers and catchers reporting. And obviously I've been down here for a few years now, and I've never seen a crowd like that. Some of the games don't even draw that many people, so it was really amazing to see. And a lot of the beat writers, some of the media members were talking like, yeah, see, this is what going to the World Series can do. People will turn out in droves for you. So it's definitely going to be pretty interesting to see what Citi Field looks like on opening day and beyond. I think there's going to be a lot more people than we've seen over the last few years, turning out to the ballpark to see the Mets, because not only are they, a young, exciting team, but now they're a young, exciting team that has proven they can win. And I think that's going to be pretty important for their ticket sales, and I think that's going to be beneficial for the team in the long haul. Obviously, facing the World Series is very cool, but it also has a lot of other meanings as well in terms of revenue and ticket sales and merchandise and things like that. So, obviously, last year was a huge, huge, big win for them, but despite not winning the World Series. But, we've seen it so far that fans are excited.
A couple things. First of all, what new acquisition? Obviously, you can't tell tendencies from pitchers and catchers and basic batting practice, but what new acquisition do you think is going to have the biggest upside? And from talking to the guys, who do they seem to be most excited about in terms of brand new acquisitions?
Well, for the most part, almost every position player that's in Major League Camp has already arrived. Only maybe two or three players still aren't here, which is kind of amazing, considering they officially need to report until Friday. And many of them have already been here for weeks and weeks. So, again, no off-season for these guys. But in terms of who's going to make a big impact, obviously, just having Yoenis Cespedes on the team for a full season is probably the biggest story. Obviously, they have him at the end of last season, but bringing him into camp and having him in camp has a lot of guys excited. And I think they talk a lot about Cespedes. But there's also sort of this talk about the two guys up the middle in Asdrubal Cabrera and short and Neil Walker at second base. Last year defense wasn't really at a premium for the Mets. They were definitely more of a bat-heavy team, even though some of their bats were historically bad for a couple of months. But up the middle, I think they've gotten a lot better, both with the bat and defensively. I don't think it's incrementally a huge change, but they definitely have moved the needle a little bit in terms of bat and for defense. So those two guys, Walker and Cabrera, obviously Cabrera's defensively isn't as good as maybe Ruben Tejada is, but Cabrera definitely has a much bigger bat than Ruben Tejada. So, again, up the middle, I think those two additions are going to be big for the team. And I think that's going to help the young pitching staff as well, knowing that they have a little more capable defense behind them to sort of be able to pitch the contact and allow balls to be hit instead of trying to strike every guy out.
Were you surprised how early Cespedes showed up?
I don't know. I think it's great. I mean, I think it's really encouraging for the rest of the team and for the fans, really, that some of these guys want to be here already and want to get this season underway. It's an excitement around the team. It's sort of, they know they have a job to do and they're going to come out and do it. Even if they are early, it's sort of the Tom Coughlin sort of mantra that I think the Mets may be sort of adopting or is coming into on their own is, early is the new on time, and I think we're seeing that. I think previously some players have been criticized for showing up only on the day they have to report, it's kind of cool to see some of these guys here days or weeks beforehand.
Has he disclosed to anybody which golf course he'll be playing every day?
No, he did not ask about where he'll be teeing off or what time his tee time is, but some of the guys have joked about it, sort of off to the side. But again, that's more power to him. If he puts in his time on the field, he's allowed to do whatever he wants off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Spring training is a long slog, especially once you get towards the end and guys have gotten their at-bats and their starts and they just want the darn season to end and they've been stuck in these apartments or whatever. They stay in hotels for a month or two. But then again, you've got some silly stuff that happens behind the scenes. Obviously, I can't ask you to reveal anything private, but was there anything in your week down there, kind of offbeat, off track, things that people wouldn't realize happened during spring training that kind of piqued your interest?
Well, you definitely see guys, if you're down here in Fort St. Lucie, you'll definitely see some guys out, eating dinner, or, you'll run into them at Jimmy John's. I ran into assistant GM Ricciardi the other day coming out of Jimmy John's. You'll see players having dinner with their wives or girlfriends or other teammates around. So, that's kind of cool, and I think that's sort of the beauty of spring training is that, it's kind of a small little town that these major leaguers will sort of all pile into, and, there's really nowhere else to go except go out to eat the same places that you're going out to eat at. So it's sort of the Everton mentality. But it's also, you can definitely see it when you come down to spring training. It's a lot more relaxed atmosphere, definitely, these first few days where, really they're just sort of taking BP and doing a couple minutes of fielding and, working on some ground balls or fly balls or anything like that. So, there's a lot of joking around and poking fun and, meeting some of these new players that are on the team or re-meeting some of the guys they haven't seen in a couple months. So, again, it's a very, relaxed, funny, joyful atmosphere. But things will obviously get serious as we get closer and closer to the season. And then, the Mets are going to play a couple of exhibition games out in Las Vegas against the Cubs. Season kicks off in Kansas City. By then, you might not see any of the starters really playing, but you're definitely going to see the atmosphere and attitude change.
Uh-oh. I would not want to take rich Major League Baseball players to Vegas days before the season starts.
Well, I think some of these players or any of the players that are really going to be with the team at that point are pretty even keel in terms of how they will function in and around Las Vegas, especially a couple of days before the season starts. And don't forget, the Mets have a Triple A, their Triple A team plays in Las Vegas year-round, or at least during the season. So I think they sort of understand the ups and downs of what that can do for you. And most of those players have been through the Las Vegas system. So they know to do what they need to do or not do what they need to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do the Mets still want to try to move that AAA team back somewhere closer to Citi Field?
There's been a lot of discussion about that. Obviously, it's pretty much a cross-country trip for calling up a guy from AAA. But they do have AA Binghamton pretty close by. So, you're seeing a lot of the young starters maybe stick around to Binghamton a little longer just in case they want to get called up from there. And then they might go out to Las Vegas when they might be right on the cusp of getting called up just to get some AAA work in or maybe work in a higher atmosphere where all sort of launch out a little faster, a little higher. So, we're seeing a lot of players really stick more into the AA level. I think this is sort of a league-wide thing where some of their top prospects stay at AA. And then AAA is more for the, quadruple A roster depth or, something along those lines. So, they definitely want to move their AAA organization closer, but it's not that easy. There's so many contracts and teams that have long-lasting affiliations and long-lasting contract affiliations with other AAA organizations around New York and, tri-state area or beyond. But again, that's definitely something they're interested in, but they've re-upped the last few years just because there's really nowhere else for them to go.
You may have noticed that the Yankees made news today from what was said in their media training about how to treat the media and to be more like Russell Wilson after his Super Bowl loss than Cam Newton after his Super Bowl loss. Have the Mets held their media training sessions yet?
Not that I know of. Again, the position players aren't all here yet. They did have a team meeting for pitchers and catchers late last week when I was down here for St. Lucie. So there was a an hour team meeting where Terry Collins addressed the players in camp and talked to them. Said he wanted to talk to us about, again, confidence and swagger. But as far as I know, they haven't had their official media training yet. But I'm sure something along those lines will be discussed.
couple of housekeeping matters. First of all, how's Sandy Alderson's health?
Sandy said he's pretty much 100%. He said he will have to travel back to New York a couple times during spring training for some therapy or some you know, procedures. But as far as he says, the long term prognosis for him is good. And as far as he's concerned, he's 100% ready to go.
First of all, that's good to hear. Secondly, I can't let you go without allowing you to promote SNY's first spring training telecast.
Sure. Well, obviously, we're going to have we've obviously been on the ground since the beginning of February with a camera. We're obviously SNY.com and SNY.tv has been there for the last week or so. We'll be there for another 2 weeks. But starting tonight, we have some Mets Hot Stove coverage on SNY as we prepare for our first spring training broadcast on March 4th. But coming up next week, we'll have live video and live live shows from Fort St. Lucie for Mets Hot Stove and Mets Talk Live, new show that we'll be premiering. So tune in for that next week, and obviously check out MetsBlog.com and SNY.tv for constantly updated coverage and video diaries from Fort St. Lucie.
Mets Talk Live sounds like a take on the Hot Stove shows that you ran during the off season. Am I right in that guess?
It's a little more interactive. Fans will have an opportunity to sort of interact and ask questions to some of the SNY crew. So it's a little like you know, a talk show type thing where you can ask questions about your favorite team and get those answers from Dave Gels and then crew.
And finally, how was running in a parking lot like?
It was good. It's obviously a little warmer than I've been used to up in the New York and the New Jersey area. I was in Nashville for a race last Saturday, and it was 2 degrees. And then the next time I went for a run, it was 76 degrees. We got about an 80-degree swing between my run, so you know, from one to another, which was a little interesting. So I'm not quite used to the heat. I've been getting accustomed to the cold, so it was a little bit of a shock.
You guys were crazy running that race in Nashville, but that's what you do. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad that we got to do this because your time is obviously precious because of all your SNY duties. Mr. Andrew Vizzano at AVSNY. It's always a pleasure, and thanks for coming back on Teeing It Up.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
It's Andrew Vizzano of SNY. We thank him. We remind you that you can listen to Blog Talk Radio, Teeing It Up on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and on iTunes anytime for all the archives. Have a great night. We'll see you next week at Jay Schill, S-C-H-I-L, on Twitter if you want to hit me up. Have a great night, everybody.